Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
After 4 or 5 bottles of that bug, we making love like Usher in the club. Little mama got her eyes on me. We put a half on a baby in the VIP. We bustin' champagne corks in the air. Shaking up the bottle, throwing bubbles everywhere. All day, party nights, welcome to my world. I'm on the dance floor, stepping with a very freaky girl. Pop a champagne like we just won the title. DJ's cutting and going on my final. Bottle after bottle, drinking like it's no tomorrow. Pilot sticking with a model. Body looking like a bottle. Posing for the pictures like it's for a magazine. Jenny Choo pumps with the painted on jeans. We gon' make this a night to remember while the record plays. Looking for a secretary, shawty, what's your resume? I'ma play the full court press. She love the way I ball. Rubbing on the waistline to blame it on the alcohol. I got a star struck, 2 hands up in the back of the VIP playing 2 hand touch. Bottle after bottle is on. And I'm gone. We gon' party till the lights come on. Champagne, the top of Patron, taking shots of the gone. We gon' party till the lights come on. Yeah. I'm drinking dark liquor tonight, all my liquor is light. We gon' party till the lights come on. Yeah. Kodak moment tonight, we get right. We gon' party till the lights come on. Damn, you look good, girl, back that ass up. Step behind the velvet rope and fill your glass up. Whoa. Sip a little bubbly with an eligible bachelor. My future looking bright, taking off like NASA. Smoking on homegrown, fresh from Nebraska. Left wrist looking like the heart of Alaska. Storybook finished at the end of that chapter.
Hey, everybody. I want to say what's up to everybody out there.
Danger, right now.
You're tuned into The Brunch live every Sunday right here on Dollhouse Radio. So we got an hour and a half with you guys today. We're here every Sunday. Today is our new day back. We haven't been here in a while. Last night on a Dollhouse was like our first night back as well in a long time. We're really excited about the show because we love enjoying, we really enjoy coming on talking to you guys. And Sunday's show is a little different. Just want to let everybody know Sunday's just a little different than a Dollhouse. Of course, we're turned up on Saturday night. The Sunday show is a little more relaxed, laid back, and a little more information. You know, it's a little more informal. So we definitely want to say thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys out there who, tuned into the show many other times. So shout out to our old listeners. Shout out to the new ones. Definitely, we don't play a whole lot of music on the show, so it's mostly talk radio. On this program, I have my co-host, Martin T, who also was on the Dollhouse last night with us. He's the official host right here at The Brunch. Welcome to the show, Martin.
I like that new theme song. You got me over here twerking. You got me twerking over here in my... Not Miley Cyrus twerking. Not Miley Cyrus twerking. I ain't turning up like that. Back it up, girl.
All right, okay, that's enough.
I need somebody in front of me so I can spank it.
Yes. I wonder what she's doing right now. Do you think she's twerking while she's brushing her teeth?
You know something? I was going to say something foul, but it's Sunday morning, so I'm going to let that
Sunday
one slide.
It's Sunday morning. We cannot do that.
Yes. We're more refined. We're more laid back. We're less turned down, turned up.
The Brunch.
Turned
you
down
never
for
know
what?
Who's tuned into The Brunch.
Yeah.
No,
turned
Carl,
down
you
for
never
what?
Know
we turned down, because it's Sunday morning.
It's Sunday morning, and somebody's auntie is coming from church, eating her food, and listening to the show. So we definitely don't want to be like crazy. So
we don't want Auntie spitting out her chicken and going to grab the blessed all over her computer.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Today is September the 8th, 2013. It's crazy. The month is moving so fast.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's moving by real fast. The year is closing
yes.
out. It feels like we just mm-hmm. jumped into 2013, and it's like, here we go.
If anybody's staying in Atlanta, I know Mia Martin is in Atlanta. It seemed like the weather here for the summer was really, like, really weird. Like, we didn't have a
yeah.
whole summer. Like, it was raining half the time from June
oh, my Lord.
To July. August was up and down. What do you think about that? I feel like I'm cheated because now it's already fall, and it's
yeah.
I love
and
fall, though. You know,
yeah,
fall in Atlanta
it's almost
is
like
really good, but.
Exactly. It's almost like we got like what they call an Indian summer now because it's like we're
yeah.
getting back up in the 90s again. It's like,
mm-hmm.
what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
July
mm-hmm.
was just rainy.
July was terrible. July here was so terrible. It was raining. I thought I was in Seattle.
40 days and 40
nights. I was confused.
Nights.
Yes, I was confused. I had on boots. I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know. So Atlanta, I don't know what's going on with your weather, but it was terrible here for our summer.
Yeah, and we know in Atlanta the ladies like to be half naked
yes,
from May
yes.
on, and, you know, folks had to have on clothes, and they were not happy
they
about
didn't get
it.
They get the memo. Right, and you know black people don't watch the Weather Channel, right? So
no.
they get dressed according to, oh, it's summer, and I'm going to go outside with booty shorts on and a little top, and then it's storming. Yeah. So,
yeah.
yeah.
I saw many pictures on my Facebook timeline of young ladies in the car, booty shorts soaked through, no drawers on. So, you know, you got camel toe prints, hair
camel
all messed up.
Prints.
They cussing because they hair messed up. Where your umbrella,
oh
at, sweetheart?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just a mess out there. Get it together,
yeah.
Atlanta. We have the Hip Hop Awards, the BET Hip Hop Awards coming here soon. They'll be here in Atlanta again.
Oh,
so,
Lord. Let the ratchetness begin.
I want everybody to know, anybody who don't follow BET and the award shows, period, the one they have in L.A., and then the one they have here in Atlanta, if you don't follow the show, I just want to say the hip-hop show is a little different than the regular BET Awards.
Mm-hmm.
The BET Awards, like we talked about last night, is getting better. And it's a little more, like, formatted and smooth. The hip-hop awards, I don't know so much. What do you think about
yeah.
the hip-hop awards? Because when they're here,
man, come on
it's
now.
More strippers in the audience than anything.
I mean, hip-hop awards, you bring, like, 90 people up to the stage, you know. You might have won the award, but you bring in other artists who was nominated onto the stage. Everybody's
yeah.
high. I think the dudes
mm-hmm.
in the booth are high. The host is high. I mean, everybody is high. And I mean, and I think they even had to stop some folks from smoking in the theater because some folks was trying to fire up out in the audience.
Yeah.
It's buck wild. I mean, it's straight up buck wild.
Yeah, it's definitely a different show. I don't like the. I'm not gonna say I like BET or respect to BET, but that actual show, I've been invited a few times, and I'm just like, I can't get so many strippers there. Why are they there? Are they getting awards? I mean, you know, when you go to certain shows, certain people are in the back. They are
yes.
actually in the front or the middle, and I can't. You know, I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a few young ladies from some of our local shoe modeling establishments who I did recognize in the audience. I'm like, hold on, ain't that, that's Hennessy. What's she doing at the awards?
Oh, my God.
I mean, cameraman better keep the camera up because Hennessy don't like to wear underwear, you know. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know the sexual athletes will be in full
yes.
force. BET weekend.
Yes.
For
oh,
those
yes.
of you who have tuned in, not tuned in before, we no longer call them bustholes.
No.
They're sexual athletes.
Yes.
These are young ladies who service the talent and the entourage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is their role.
Yeah, they love
well.
Their role, though. They love their
Absolutely.
Role. Yes,
Absolutely.
They do their job very,
very well.
Very much well and with pride and dignity.
Absolutely.
These women are professionals. Professional
yes.
athletes. I.
They do not have real jobs. Their job is to follow.
No, this is
their
job. To follow the artists.
They follow the artists
yes.
from city to city.
Yes.
You know, they keep the
Hopefully
bus clean.
Hopefully, they don't
here.
Get less. Hopefully,
according
they
Jeff,
don't
they
get
keep
less.
They keep the bus clean very well.
Yes, according
yeah,
to Jack.
So, yeah, Jack, mm-hmm. you know, shout out to the infamous Jack somewhere out on the road right now, and he's probably. Just, he ain't got up yet. It's 12 o'clock, so Jack isn't up
no.
yet. But he's probably has a few sexual athletes, you know, lying to the left of him, to the right of him, at his feet.
No,
maybe
but
on
you
his
know
face.
What? A lot of people, you know, when you think something is fake, and when you're like, okay, when somebody, especially when you don't know a person and you, you know, people heard Jack talk about these, at that time, bus holes, and people thought we were joking. But
no,
actually, one of the girls that's my friend that knows Jack too, she came here and she saw it live in action. And we
wow.
were at someone's, I can't name home who we were at, but Jack invited one of his bus holes that, you know, when he come to East City, he got a bus hole in East City, I mean, a few of them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
he told one of the girls to come, he was like, because I was like, I'm hungry, you know, I'm like, I want to get some meat. So he was like, hold on, let me call one of the hoes. So he called one of the bus hoes. I mean, this chick came from nowhere. I don't know where she came from, but she took everybody's order. She went and got food. She bought back stuff.
Lord.
I mean, I had cake and all kind of stuff, all type of snacks. And
Lord.
I was really pleased with her delivery, you know? So I want to say to
yeah.
Jack, shout out to Jack. He has a lot of bus hoes in line. He went to L.A., and same thing, he got bus holes there, bus holes everywhere, you know. They just go, you know, they want to do everything he wants, you know. Great. Shout
yeah,
out to them.
Absolutely. He was here in Atlanta. He called me when I was on a date, actually, and Jack was like, I'm in town. Hey, come on through. Bring a few extra bus holes if you got them. I'm like, Jack, I'm on a
oh
date, dog. I come through. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Ooh. Mm. Yes.
They bought that life.
No, definitely bought that life. I'm sorry to all the aunties and cousins out there who
oh,
are
yes,
just coming
excuse
from
us.
Church. Yeah, sorry. We didn't mean to offend anyone. I know the Sunday show is a little more laid back. But we got to have fun, too. I mean, this is serious stuff that's going on in the world, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it is. It is bus holes out there. It is sexual athletes out there who do it
yes.
for a living, travel around on the tour buses with the guys that rap, and they have nothing to do with rap, and this is what they do daily. They do this every week, you know? So,
absolutely.
Sorry, we had to talk about it. Last night on Dollhouse, we did have a conversation about the porn industry. We had Mr. Marcus on with us. We touched on the whole fact of the porn industry and the safety, and I wanted to kind of like revisit that topic. Also, we have our other topic, Martin, that we are going to touch on. Is it suicide? Are we going to touch on that one?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I want to first say I want to kind of talk about the porn industry thing. You guys know that another case, HIV case, was found.
Yes.
A couple of days ago. I reported this on Tuesday. They confirmed everything on, I think it was Friday. So I just want to know what you guys feel out there, if you want to call in 646-595-4038 about the whole situation with the porn industry and the safety. Do you think that it should be something, they should implement something within the industry that says some type of rule where it's a little more strict of who they select to be in the industry, who they allow
exactly.
to be in this industry. What do you think about that? Do you think it should be some type of rule set? Because I do.
I think you know something, that the porn industry should be like the professional, you know, like the professional sports organizations. I think that they should implement rules. They should have a testing regimen. They should have, and they, you know, you should have to be licensed to be in that industry. I don't think anybody, you, just because you dropped a porn tape,
mm-hmm.
okay, you're allowed in the industry. No, I think they should
right.
regulate it. It should be, you know, a set rules, regulations, guidelines. And right. I think that they should set that up. And even unionized.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
now, the union, I don't know about the union. They have been trying to do a union for years. I can tell you that. I sat in many meetings with the talks of a union. And the reason why a union won't happen is because you have a lot of people who really are not looking. Today you have a lot of girls are people who are involved who really don't care about that. People are here just for now. They're not here for tomorrow or the future. And so a lot of people are just like, I'm just getting my money. It's fast money, and I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. So when you talk about a union, you have to have serious people who are really looking to be around. And they want something in place to have rules and, you know. So the union thing never really worked within the porn industry. First, you got to have a room full of bright people who really, really is going to say, look, we're going to leave if this is not put in place. You're going to lose some money because half of the stars are going to leave. And I think that was another issue. Like, at first, when I went to the first meeting a long time ago, I mean, you had a lot of the big people there. And then it kind of fell off. So if you don't have, like, a lot of the main players involved, it really don't matter. You get what I'm saying? Because they,
I see where that would probably not work. But my thing is this. If you set up some rules, regulations, guidelines, and licensing, that would make it easier for them to set up a union. Because guess what? The producers won't be able to come out there and then even have it so that everybody can't produce. If you want to be producing videos, hey, everybody has to go by these guidelines. And guess what?
The guidelines.
If they do that, then hey, you won't have that foolishness.
I agree with you. I just think that it should be a little strict. Like back in the days, it was a little more strict, in my opinion, because you had certain people who would try to come in, and I tell you, it was really hard, especially for men, to enter the adult film industry. Like, no one knew how to get in. It was just like, how do you get in? Because they didn't let you in. It was just really like you had to know somebody to even audition and try to get in as a male. Most of the time, the guys had to come in with a female. Nowadays, you could come in with a female still, but it's like they're letting guys in left and right. I mean, you're getting random people, period. Even the girls, they would sit there and, like, you know, it wasn't a procedure where you just walk off the street and they just let you in. I just think that they should be more selective like they were back in the past, you know, back in the days. And if you notice the track record, even though you had an HIV outbreak maybe once every few years, something would happen. And most of the outbreaks were occurring within the gay community of the porn industry. So let's get that straight.
Right.
You had three other people within the normal porn industry, which was Darren. You had the Mark Wallace. And then you had the girl, I forget her name. Those three people. And Mark actually gave it to the girl on a set of one of her, she did a Game Bang movie, if anybody knows the story. That's how she got it. Mark Wallace was the last person she worked with on that set, and that's when she got it. And then you had Darren. Totally different case. Years later, you had Darren. So now it seems like you're getting more cases. Every year is a case with somebody. Like, it seems like it's somebody every year that's catching HIV now. So to me, and then if you revisit Darren's case wasn't really nothing to do with the industry either, because that was something that happened in Brazil. You know, when he left here, he was fine. When he went to Brazil to shoot, he wasn't fine. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think that the industry seemed safer years ago versus now it's not so safe, you know.
Yeah,
so I think somebody needs to speak up. No, it's not good. People need
especially
to speak up
Brazil.
And say, look, huh?
I say especially in Brazil.
Yeah.
I tell all my boys, do not go to Brazil.
You can go to Brazil. You just got to be careful. You just always got to be, come on, don't stick your stuff in everything that you see walking. You have to be careful. You do.
And those women down there are fine. And a lot of them are carrying the package. And some of that stuff can burn through even the strongest condom. So,
oh, my God.
I'm just saying, fellas, you're going to Brazil, don't be doing nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Most girlfriends now, they don't even want their man going to Brazil. You go to Brazil, we breaking up.
We breaking up, that's it. You come
we
back, you need
up.
A tip.
Exactly.
So, okay, I want to bring up another point because I kind of got, you know, I always get attacked on this one. What do you think about the whole situation with porn stars and escorting? Because I did bring up the point that a lot of porn stars now today, you see them on websites that are escorting. And my issue was I felt like that's one of the problems. I'm not going to say it's the problem. I feel like it's one of the problems within the porn community where you have so many girls who are active in porn and they're active in escorting. So to me, I think that's a risk. And that's some type of something going on because, you know, you have one girl that might do five clients and one of the guys might have something she brings it back to the industry the next day. And
very
I think
true.
That's a problem. Right. So what do you think about that? And I want to hear from you guys out there, too.
I definitely agree with you that that is definitely a huge risk. I think that if you do one or the other. If you're going to ho-ho.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're going to do, you know, if you're going to do the, you know, the porn, do porn. I just don't think, you know, what you're trying to do, you're trying to supplement your income, boo? I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it's, you're putting a lot of people at risk.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're putting a lot of people at risk. So I think that you just, it's like, hey, mm-mm, stop. You
well,
don't
a lot
do
of girls are saying that the porn industry isn't making a lot of money. You know, we need to do the escorting because it's extra income. So my opinion is, what I said last night, and I'm going to stick by the statement, is, well, then, if it's not working for you, then, sweetie, you're doing the wrong job. You need to transfer and
thank
get the escort. If you're a stripper and the whole night you make $2, guess what? You're not a stripper, okay? When you do a job, you get paid to do that job, right? That means you're a professional. If you're not making good money doing it, then you need to do something else. Go back to school. Try something else. I just don't think that I would stick into something that I'm not really making where I can survive off of it.
Absolutely.
But what do you think about the escorting? Do you think it's one of the problems, Martin?
I think it's one of the problems, and I also think because of the advent of the internet, it's almost like now you have people who can pretty much, they can, like you said, it was hard to get back in porn because, you know, you had to find somebody who would shoot you, who would do all, or, you know, who would produce you and everything. You had those kind of, you had a gateway that you had to go through in order to get into porn.
Right.
But now you got the internet, you got a webcam, you in the industry. And I think that's another thing. It's like, hey, you had established producers back in the day. You know, you had guys who were actually, this was their profession. They were about bringing new talent in and cultivating new talent. And now you got people like Brian Pumper, corrupting poor little Montana Fishburne. You know what I'm saying? And then you got clowns like this who allow to, you know, bring people into the industry. It's like, come on now, seriously.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, you're correct. It used to have a lot of respected producers and directors who have been doing this for a long time. And now you're right. You have people who just pick up a camera, and now they can just post whatever they want on any of these sites. And now you're a producer in porn, you're a director of porn, or you are a porn star because you are on a webcam. And I just kind of think that I understand that everybody's like, well, India, it's free porn, it's all this type of stuff that's competing with porn, the porn industry out there, that wasn't out there when you was around. But you guys have to understand something. The computers were around when I was in the industry. Stop making it seem like it wasn't no computers. You just didn't have the platform. You know,
exactly.
I was in porn within, I started in 98, up until 2005, 2006. I came back in 2008 for a few months, and then I left. So, I mean, come on, computers were around then. And even in 2003, 2004, 2005, porn was still doing good, you know. And I just kind of think when the free sites came around, yes, you're correct. A lot of people, they didn't want to, why would they buy it? But I also think certain girls left the industry and the fans were just like, why should we buy it? Because the girls that are coming in now, we're not really feeling them. That's what I got from a lot of the fans. The fans didn't like some of the girls who came in.
Absolutely.
And it seemed like the girls who were coming in was definitely just coming in just to make money. You had girls before who were in that, even if they were just there to make money, which we were all there just to make money, but we actually liked what we did. And when people out there who are fans of something, they can tell fake, and they knew that. And I think the guys really didn't respect it the same. A lot of guys, I hear from the guys all the time. I speak to a lot of the fans of different girls, not just my fans, and they tell me the same thing, that it changed. You know, why should we buy it, you know? The girls are offering for, you know, like, can you know, they're escorting for $200, $300, $400. Why should we go buy their DVD when I can see her in private, you know?
Right.
It's just a different industry. It was a mystery then. It was more like a surprise, like, oh, my gosh, you're excited to see your favorite porn star. Nowadays, you could go down the street and see her anywhere. It's just different.
Not saying that I've actually watched a whole lot of porn in my life. You know, I've only seen a few movies myself, only a few. But I mean, back
about
in the 200. Day, that is a very high number. I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah, back in the day, you know, when I was younger, you know, you had the ebony eyes. You know, you had the Ayanas, you had the, of course, India, you know, you had those big name stars,
Hunter,
you know, the Janet
Jackmes,
the Heather Hunters, you know.
Right.
You had those, you had those particular big name stars. And even on the white side, you know, of course, you work with Ron Jeremy, of course, who is a legend in the porn industry.
Ron
tricked
me into that scene.
Let me
Shout out to Ron Jeremy.
Hey, I saw Ron Jeremy out in Vegas one time. Let me tell you something. People can talk what they want about how ugly and disgusting that little fat white guy is. But Ron Jeremy did it in.
And you never hear anybody
say a bad thing about the dude.
No, he does good scenes. I'm not going to lie to you. Ron Jeremy, like, you know, a lot of people just look at him. But if you get to know him, he's really really cool guy. And if you ever been to an AVN show and seen his line, because if you've been to AVN or any of the shows, like, you know, we'll have lines of fans waiting for us. Ron's line is longer than any of the girls, okay? His line is, like, extra long. Oh, my gosh. Ron, I hate you.
I saw the show on, I think it was on Showtime or something, and, I mean, you got these young chicks here. They want him to sign breasts and thighs and ass. I'm like, damn, Ron.
They love him. He's been around. He's a legend. We definitely love him. I know he had a scare, a year ago. He got sick. And, you know,
Was it his heart or something?
His heart. And it's really sad when you hear about somebody that you've known for a long time and they're not doing well. So I definitely, you know, wish the best and everything, you know, for his health, because he's a good guy. I really do like Ron. And he's one of the ones in the industry also who's done a lot of other things, not just porn. He's crossed over into a lot of other things. So,
you know,
he's one of the ones I look at, and I'm like, yes, okay, he's done it. Definitely, I could do it too. So, shout out to Ron Jeremy. Yes.
Absolutely.
Let me see. So, you guys call in. I definitely want to hear from you what you think about this whole porn industry escorting or just safety within porn. What you think about this topic? We'll stay on it just for just a second. We have to move on to our next topic. 646-595-4038 is the number. We definitely want to talk to you. If you want to talk, make sure you press 1. If you do not press 1, we do not know you want to talk, and we will not pick up the phone. So make sure you guys do that.
No calling me heavy breathing either.
Yeah, don't be calling in heavy breathing.
Heavy breathing, you know. You know, come on, stop it.
Yeah, I think I posted this number before up on, you know, Twitter when I'm promoting. And somebody hit me back and was like, hey, is this your number? No, what the hell? I'm going to put my number on this. What the hell is wrong with you?
Remember you posted your real number.
No, I did.
By accident.
I did. I put my actual number up there one time. I was just so into the moment. And I put my number up there. Do you know one guy called it quick? Like, he was the only one, though. He said, hey, did you just put your number up there? I said, oh, my God. I said, no. I erased it, but he caught it and still had it. He still caught it, though. He was quick. You know, shout out to him with his quick hands. Your quick, quick ass.
And shout out to Mr. Marcus. If anybody didn't listen to the show, please listen to the replay. Great interview with adult film star Mr. Marcus. It was a great interview Indy and Ari did on Mr. Marcus. You definitely go back and listen to the show last night. It was great.
Yes, yes, definitely good show last night with Mr. Marcus. He revisited the whole situation with the DUI incident and the syphilis incident that occurred within the porn industry. I wanted him to come on not just to talk about why did you do this and why did you do that. I wanted him to kind of like, where are you at now, too, at the same time? Where are you at right now in your life? How is it for Mr. Marcus right now? Everybody already know what happened. We want to know where you at right now. How can we move on from this? And that's what I wanted to kind of do last night. And he, you know, I got tweets that a lot of people were tuned in and a lot of people were saying that they liked the interview. They actually liked the interview. So, you know, and they was giving love to him. I saw his face. A few people mentioned the radio show last night in his interview. So shout out to Mr. Marcus. And all you could do is move on. You know, it's another day. Every day is a different day, and you can't just live in that task of that whatever happened yesterday. You got to move on. And no matter how hard it is to move on, you got to keep moving. You cannot stop.
There you go.
When you stop is when things are going to go bad for you, because you stop and you're in that moment, you start getting depressed, you start thinking about stuff. You got to keep going. Nobody is perfect. Everybody that's pointing their fingers at him right now, guess what? I bet you have trouble. No, matter of fact, I bet you 90% of them have something in their closet that they don't want you to know about, that they did. So stop doing that. You never know what somebody else is going through. You never know, you know, what it is like. I mean, he did something bad. He did something wrong. But everybody should be forgiven. I feel that way. You know, it's not like he did this 5-6 times. I feel like it was bad what he did. But come on. We have to move on from it. We have to move on.
Yeah.
We have to move on.
And I like when you asked him. I like when you asked him about, you know, the people that turned their back on him. And he's just like, you know, maybe they just waiting on me to tap him on the shoulder. I like that answer.
Oh, my God, I'm done. Yeah.
That was gangster. That was gangster.
Right. Yes, yes. And let me tell you guys something. I mentioned this last night, too, Martin, that a lot of people don't get him. At this time right now when it comes to humor, Marcus, that's just him. I've known him for years. He's very, he always seems, no matter what he's going through, he always seemed to find a smile out of whatever it is. And I think some people didn't like that because they thought he wasn't taking it serious. But he is. He just don't want to, he's just showing it in a different way. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And some people express themselves differently. He finds it like he's laughing or he's smiling because going into a dark place and being depressed about it, I don't think that's a good move. Not for him, because that's something that he don't deal with certain things like that, and I think people just didn't understand him.
And he's a happy-go-lucky guy. You can even see
no,
that,
he definitely is.
You know.
He definitely is.
You can tell he's a happy-go-lucky guy.
Mm-hmm. And what I told him one night on the phone, I said, look, I said, what's going to happen is next week it's going to be something else, and they're going to forget all about it. They won't forget, but they're going to stop talking about it. So you just got to move on with your life, and don't worry about what people say. And guess what? Something else happened. Cameron Bay was named. She's a porn industry porn star. She tested positive for HIV. It's always something. Next week, it's gonna be something else. It's always something. Okay.
Always.
So the story is gonna be like last week's news, because it's gonna be somebody else who take your position. She tested positive for HIV. It reports that her boyfriend, Rod Daly, okay, now this story is a little weird because nobody's really confirmed it, that Rod is the one that is HIV positive too, but he went to his Twitter account supposedly a few days ago on Tuesday saying that he has HIV as well. Now, I retweeted everything that Daily News had printed, and somebody was saying, they hit me back on my Twitter, that's a part of the industry, and was like, oh, somebody hacked your Twitter. Okay. Friday, reports came out that somebody else had came up positive, but they were not releasing the name yet. Okay, so everything is kind of crazy right now. But it would make sense if he was positive, right? Because this is his girlfriend, supposedly.
Exactly.
So,
and why is it every time somebody gets in trouble saying something stupid on Twitter, the first thing they say is, oh, my Twitter got hacked.
My Twitter was hacked.
Let me tell you something. Twitter has been doing everything to basically, their security is like top-notch now. So why in the world are y'all going to turn around and tell them lies about your Twitter got hacked? Just own up to it, please.
Just own,
Just own up to it.
Yes. Yes. I agree with you on that. Own up to it. But why do you think people do that? I think people do it because they really, they say stuff and they realize what they say and they're like, oh, wait, I don't want to say it, take it back.
Exactly.
Or they can't take it back, so it's already there.
You can't take it back.
No. If you thought
Alec Baldwin. Just get rid of your Twitter account. Alec Baldwin and wild it out 50 billion times. He's like, I ain't going to have no Twitter account. I don't know how to act right. No,
I don't know how to act on Twitter. I'm ignorant.
He don't know how to act.
I say stuff. I'm not going to take it back. If I say something, I say it because I meant it. If you thought it, you wrote it, and you had the audacity to sit there and type it on Twitter, guess what? That's what you wanted to say, dumbass. Keep it on there. Don't take nothing back.
160 characters or less.
No, that's what I wanted to say, and I damn somebody to say take it down. I'm not going to act like I was hacked. Oh, my gosh, that sex tape went up. Oh, my gosh, I was hacked. No, shut up. No.
Or my publicist. They do my tweeting for me. Really? Really?
You only have 400. You have less than 4 followers. Nobody ain't doing your damn tweeting. Back to the situation with we were talking about the HIV case within the porn industry right now with Cameron Bay. I want to know, because, see, I need this to be confirmed first. Because, see, I haven't touched on the issue because it's not confirmed. But once it's confirmed, I'm going to touch on this issue, but I want to bring it up to you guys. From what I was told, the Rod Daily guy is a gay performer within the gay community of the, you know, the porn industry. Now, if this is true, that would be some type of contradiction, because if you are dating a porn star that's also a porn star in the porn industry of the gay side, I don't think that's supposed to happen, you know, because it's a safety issue, number one. Another safety issue, even though they wear condoms now, to me, it's still a safety issue. It's a safety issue. And I kind of feel if this is confirmed, once this is confirmed, if it's confirmed or not, but if they come out and say that it is confirmed, yes, this is the Rod from, you know, Cameron Bay's boyfriend. He works as a gay performer, and they stay together. I'm going to have an issue, because let me tell you why. Because I want to see where all the people that went, you know, got down on Mr. Marcus and said all this stuff about Mr. Marcus. I want to see where all you people at. I want to see you guys say the same thing, because to me, that's an issue right there. Somebody who's doing porn with a regular porn star, and that's a risk right there, and now the whole industry is shut down. You don't think that's something that maybe somebody should talk about? So once I'm going to wait. I'm going to sit back. I'm just going to wait. And when if they confirm it, then I'll talk about it and I'll speak about it. I'll wait. But if they confirm it, I'm definitely going to have a lot to say, because I want to see where all these people, Lisa Ann's and all you people, when you know, something like, you know, I want to see what she got to say then. Because a lot of people was really on Marcus when he,
yeah,
you know,
they went in on
him. You did this, you did that, you put our lives in jeopardy. Okay, I'm not trying to say one disease is less than the other, but I tell you one damn thing. HIV is damn serious. Last time
You can't take a shot for that.
Okay, so like I said, I'm just gonna be quiet. I'm gonna rest my mouth until it's confirmed, and until then, I'm just not gonna say anything. We're gonna go to the phone lines real quick. 415, welcome to the Dollhouse Radio, the Brunch Show.
What's cracking with you?
Hey, who's this?
This is Justin Long in the house.
Hi, Justin. How are you?
What's up?
What's cracking?
So, Justin, you have been a performer for, like, a long time in the industry. I want to hear what your opinion is on this whole issue with the porn industry escorting, and I want you to touch on the Rod Daily thing. What do you think about that? I want you to just touch on all three of them. Just, what do you feel about it?
Well, you know, the industry, I mean, I've been hauling it for a long time. The industry really needs to go to full panel testing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody, you know, people come into the industry and they're all, oh, it's safe, we're getting tested. And, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, you don't come in the industry and figure out the game inside of 6 months. That just don't happen. I don't really care who you are, you know what I mean? So it takes a minute to figure out the industry, learn the game. And once you learn it, you learn that a test don't really mean shit. Because, because the reality is you don't know who that nigga was or who that nigga was sleeping with the night before after the club or who that girl was sleeping with the night after the club.
That's right.
And you damn well don't know who that girl was tricking with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, we're not even talking about private life. We're talking about tricking and your private life.
And
Yeah. You know what I mean? So some dude has bi tendencies, and he's down in West Hollywood, and he hooks up at a club, you know, and goes home with another dude, and then there ain't no condom for one reason or another, and this nigga's like, you know, doing some crazy shit without a condom, you know, then it's like, you know, what does his test really mean the next day?
Right, it doesn't mean anything.
Nothing.
It's invalid. Actually, my opinion, Justin, your test becomes a valid as soon as you walk out of the testing center and you go sleep with somebody else. Your test is invalid when you sleep with somebody else unprotected. Your test becomes invalid, and it's really scary that you got to go so many weeks, at least over 2 weeks, till you get another test.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're telling me two weeks.
But
hundreds of people go without a test, and they have to wait to get tested again. How much shit can you do? Come on, Justin.
Right.
How much shit can you do in 2 weeks? Because I know how much shit I can do in 2 weeks.
I know. But it's even worse than that, because then you have what really is the determining factor is that, you know, that time, you know, so they take your, so you do your HIV test, but it's only bringing that window down to a 30-day window.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So really, it don't even matter what you did in 2 weeks. It's what can your ass do in a month.
Yeah.
You know what
Very
I mean?
Very true.
Because that test ain't even, if you caught HIV 2 weeks ago, that test probably ain't going to pick it up.
No, it's not, because you
did 30 and 31 days prior.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
It'll pick it up maybe the next time. It's going to take another month.
So,
me, it's flawed. I think the system is flawed, and I think that something else needs to happen to protect these people. What's funny to me is most of the performers that are in today, I'm super surprised, Justin, that nobody's really speaking up for their safety to say, look, that's enough. It's three people this year. I'm done. We need to sit down, have a conversation, and figure this out. Okay.
Well, that's because
the
only people with real voices, you know what I'm talking about, that are sitting
they're
on
retired.
No. Well, that too, right? But the people with real voices, like, are sitting on this board that are associated with PASS, and, like, you know, it's supposed to be the industry leaders, right? You know what I mean? Like I'm gonna have Shia Love speaking for my ass, but bitch don't even work with black folk. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but
she's supposedly speaking for
the talent, right? Like, get the hell out of here, right? But you know,
right. Well, if you don't work with black guys, then you're not right. I mean, which is a preference.
Right.
It's a preference.
Right.
We can't say anything about that, but right.
Well, I can.
Well, I mean, I get what you said. No. You know what, Brent? How I feel about that situation, Justin? It's her preference to not work with black guys. But when it comes to speaking for everybody as a whole, meaning black people and white people, then yes, Shia Love, you shouldn't be speaking for nobody because you don't represent me because you don't want to work with us. So why should you represent me? But as far as a performer, she has that right. She has that right to say that. So. But she shouldn't be on the board of nothing.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, you know, but these folks, you know, that really have a voice, you know what I'm saying? Because you know as well as I do, you ain't going to be some podunk nobody, and AVN's going to write up some article blasting the industry that you come out with about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And really no, you know, legitimate news media is going to, if you're a nobody. You know what I'm saying? You're not coming in the industry 6 months catching herpes and then like you're gonna have access to mainstream porn media to blast the industry. You know, that's just not gonna happen.
Monica,
you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, right. You know, so the main people that really have a voice, you know, they ain't speaking up because they're the ones making the money.
Right.
They're the ones making the money off of all these motherfuckers being put at risk. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Marsha Hearst ain't gonna stand up and say, oh, we need to, you know, it ain't gonna happen, you know. And her brother Steve Hirsch ain't gonna stand up and say, you know. And the owners of all these major studios ain't gonna stand up and say nothing either. In fact, they're the ones that are today violating all the laws that LA City put in place. They're supposed to be shooting condoms. Every time they shoot a non-condom scene right now, they're violating state law. And they're violating city law. You know what I'm saying? So they're doing everything in their power to make sure that the talent's not protected. You know what I'm saying?
So why do you think that, I mean, I understand, Justin, it's a money issue, like, you know, it's greed, but it don't that send, like, I mean, if I was, I mean, come on, that would send out, like, my antennas, like, okay, they're saying they really don't give a fuck about you because Ben has three cases this year. Three.
Three cases in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Let's clear that up. Let's not pretend like it's a year. If you want to go a year, you got to take in the old boy that said that he had a Rent-A-Boy ad, but he didn't really fuck nobody off of the Rent-A-Boy ad. And then you got to take into account Cameron, her boyfriend, the new performer. And then I think there was one other one, right? That was just a few months back before this whole Cameron Bay situation.
Wow.
So really, inside of, like, really close, like, within a year from today, prior, I think there's actually been, like, four or five cases of HIV. You know what I mean? It's getting wild. It's the wild, wild west out there right now.
I said it. I called it the other day. I said Russian roulette now. I said it's almost like Russian roulette because you're playing with your life now, you know.
Big time.
And the only reason why I'm speaking on it is because I feel that, you know, something like, you know, when you've been a part of something like me and you for so long, you are attached to, you know, we help pave the way for the girls, our guys, whoever, who's there now. And I feel like I'm attached to that industry in some way. And I do have people that I still know that's involved in that industry, and you care about the safety. I do care about the safety. And I really wish some people would speak up. I think I get what you're saying, Justin, but guess what? If you get a whole team together, they can't shut everybody down. If you get more people that are involved, that are active right now, and if they did speak up, nobody, everybody's not going to get shut down, you know? I mean, I'm not just talking about the main people. I'm talking about the performers. If the performers got together and really got together, come on, they need them. When you realize that you are needed and that without you, they can go get more porn stars, but do you know how long that's going to take to create? If they go get all new porn stars right now, if everybody left, guess what? They're amateurs. The new porn stars coming in will be amateurs. They don't have no stars. So to me, you are needed. Performers out there, you are needed. You're needed. They need you more than you need them.
But the problem is, you know, with that really is, I mean, you know as well as I do, I mean, well, I know a little bit more than you, I mean, than know it a little bit more than you do because, you know, I mean, a lot of the time you were under contract, you had guaranteed money, you know, this and that. And for a girl, you know,
don't try to make it seem
girl,
like I just.
No, I'm putting it out there on the real, you know.
She was a star.
Because
I don't know why she's playing. She was a star.
Right. You know, and especially for a hot girl like yourself, India, you know, I've been smitten with you for a while, but you know, especially a hot girl like yourself, you getting your money, you getting paid, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't walking around with a body and a face like that and not getting paid. You know what I mean?
Right.
But for most people in the industry, you know, I mean, everybody wants, you know, the fans can think whatever the hell that they want. The niggas is driving around in Bentleys and drinking rosé. Nigga, that ain't the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't the truth.
Right.
Niggas driving around in Toyota Corollas and drinking Kool-Aid. That's what they doing.
I'm done with you.
I like Kool-Aid myself.
I like it too, Martin, and especially the purple one. Nigga, I like the purple drink. You can bag on me all day long, but I like the purple drink.
But who is driving in the Bentleys? Is it Steve Hirsch and everybody else?
It's Steve Hirsch.
The big-time producer.
Steve Hirsch and Manuel Ferrara and the owner of, you know, of Vengeance Triple X and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? It ain't the chick that came in and made $15,000 a month while she was hot and then her shelf life expired after 4 months. And now she's doing blowjobs to pay the rent. You know what I'm saying? That ain't the one driving around the Bentley. You know what I mean? But what my point was is that the performers will never all get together, and I'll tell you why. And it's because they don't have they are like 95% of the working class people in America. They are living paycheck to paycheck, and so if they piss off one or two or three of their regular directors that are shooting them and putting money in their pocket, speaking up and speaking out, that's all it takes to put them in the poorhouse. They ain't paying their rent. They ain't paying their car payment. They
it's like a kick-ass thing. Like, I don't want to piss nobody off. I'm going to walk on egg cartons.
That has been told to me.
Eggshell, whatever.
That has been almost verbatim been told to me as the excuse for why people haven't stood up and spoken their mind. And this was not from a small star. This was not from a small star at all. And I'm not gonna, whether it was a girl or a guy, I'm not gonna say who it was, but I'm just gonna tell you that the exact words.
So would
words
you say,
were,
Justin, that they do want to talk? Are you saying that some people would want to talk if they felt like their jobs wasn't in jeopardy?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely. That's a 100% given. You know what I mean? People would be blessed. You know, people wanted to, I mean, you didn't, like when I came out about the discrimination in the industry, you didn't see some large-ass contingent of performers coming out and trying to blast me. It was directors and studios, and it was motherfucking agents. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And fans that liked the girls that were discriminating.
Justin, stay on the phone real quick. I want to talk about Martin. I want to take a few minutes to visit this topic because we never really talked about discrimination in porn from somebody who actually is telling his story of what happened. Justin has a story. They hate when Justin talks too. They hate when Justin talks. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I want people to hear this. We'll be right back. Real quick, I'm going to take a small break. We'll be right back. Here's Kay Michelle. You're tuned into The Brunch.
Yeah.
Heaven on my heart, you know it's pain and Lord,
Right, you know, and then she tries to sell this dude who's never shot a porn a day in his life. Now, me and this dude became friends. He didn't like this shit that this girl was pulling either. He didn't know that she was really doing all this when she brought him in, right? So, sorry, I choked. So I'm sitting right there. She tries to sell this dude that she's trying to get into porn to the director to replace me because she won't do it
right. Wow.
Wow.
Baby, this was like for like something like I think it was for a series that was like Black Dick Chubuku or something. It was something like about Big Black.
What the hell?
You know what I mean?
That name?
Chubuku.
Right.
And she's trying to sell this tatted out white boy that looks like he came straight from the MMA. You know what I mean?
So when she came in to do the scene, you're telling me this dumbass didn't know it was a black movie, an interracial, duh.
Oh, she knew.
She didn't know that?
She knew.
Okay.
She knew exactly who she was booked with. And she knew that it was interracial, and she brought this dude in hopes to sort of kind of like, you know, because who really drops that on the director at the last moment?
No.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? India, you've been in this game. This was a total scam. This girl came in, thought she was going to say, oh, I don't do interracial at the last moment, and then the director, not wanting to lose her, would cancel the guy and then replace the guy with the guy she had brought.
So what happened?
You know
happened?
What I mean? Well, she it was unfortunate for her that John Strong had just got done finishing the scene and the two female talents were still in the building. So the director hired one of the other female talents and sent that bitch packing.
Oh wow!
Wow!
Yeah. So she lost
that
money.
That is crazy.
Yeah. But that's the kind of stuff that really happens, yo. That's the kind of stuff that really happens. Like, you know, the bottom line is that if you're black, you have a target on your back in the industry. Black female talent gets paid less almost all the time than any other talent. I mean, she could be in a gangbang scene with five other girls, you know what I'm saying? And those girls could be from Hispanic to Asian to white. And the black girl's probably going to get paid less than all of them.
Wow.
You know what I mean? You know, and she's going to be doing the same damn thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact is that black guys are just as much the target. You know what I mean? And it's just a shame, you know? When I left the industry in 2009, it was somewhere around 60% of the girls in the industry refused to do IR. And the funny part is that they refuse to do IR while they're hot. And then, you know, if they manage to stay around 3-4 years later, their star starts to fade. They're not making any money because they're way shot out. And all of a sudden, oh, I'm doing interracial, and they want to pretend like they've been a nigga's best friend since day one.
So what I want to ask is, because I have a few friends who don't do interracial, And you know what? One of my good friends, I won't say the names and stuff. One of the girls I've known for a long time, and I still like we're good. Like I know she's not racist, so I can say for her, I know she's not racist. We've been good friends. She's always somebody that I feel is she's a genuine person. That's just her choice. It's her choice. Just like me putting Brian Comfort on my no list that I don't want to do him. So I kind of feel that we all have – no, really, he was on my no list. He always would come up to me too, Justin, and be like, India, we don't never get put together. It would be funny in my head. I'm thinking, because, nigga, you on my no list. But, But basically, just like I have the right to say no to certain guys, they should be able to have the right to say no to certain guys. I don't know just because they're black, but because I don't want to work with, you know, this person.
But I think they're afraid of big penis, Justin. That's what it is. They're afraid of big penis, man.
No,
you go, they go home to their boyfriend, and they all cleared out, you know, because you can beat the guts in.
You know what, Martin, that's a good point. That's a good point, Justin. I think that's what it is. Some girls who have boyfriends, I think it's really sometimes the boyfriends. I don't think it's the girls so much. The guy might be at home. Like, better not work with no black guy. So
I'm not arguing with that. But I was I was gonna touch basis on the size. So like, you know, I mean, Chris Charming and I are good friends. We've worked across from each other many a times. And you know, Chris is as big as I, if not a little bit bigger. You know what I mean? And the same girl that says, "Oh, I can't work with him. he's too big." All of a sudden, she's working with Chris, or she's working with Lex, or she's working with Byron. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, wasn't the excuse that you wouldn't work with me because, you know, whatever have you? Normally, it wouldn't be Byron; it would be a Lex. So she'll do like, you know, one of the top five for the publicity, but to do a lower level nigga on a totem pole, you know, that's a no go. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I don't have a problem with girls having no list, this, that, and the third.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put an entire race on your no list, that's discrimination.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Discrimination. That's discrimination. You know what I mean?
No.
When
okay.
It's like, oh, your skin color is dark? Nope, sorry. You know what I mean?
So where do you think to start from? Because I don't think sometimes the girls come in. Honestly, this is my opinion. I talked to one of my friends before. And I don't think it's the women coming in honestly saying, oh, I don't work with black guys. Put that on the list. I think sometimes it's some of the companies. What do you think? Do you think it's other people?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree with you. You know, I'm I put one on blast. You know what I'm saying?
So,
I know y'all are going to love this one. So this little girl, Liz Taylor, right, she blew up over, you know, she blew up for about a year, last year or so, right? And she had been hitting me up on Twitter, you know, because I've always talked to my Twitter fans and stuff like that. Probably one of the most successful, you know, stars on Twitter, you know what I'm saying, that actually speaks to my fans, doesn't just put out blanket statements. And that's that, you know what I mean? And so she was hitting me up on Twitter, you know, oh, you're hot, I want a bone, this and that and the third, right? I don't even care about pussy. I had a pussy in my life, you know what I'm saying? And so whatever have you. And I sort of kind of put her on blast, you know, even at that point. And I said, why are you running around with the XXX behind your name? You ain't no star. You never shot a movie. You know, like why are you trying to perpetrate, you know? And she sort of kind of corrected herself. And she was basically, she was being smart. She was trying to build up this following before she even shot her first scene. Then she comes into the industry. Then she comes into the industry. And guess what the first thing she does?
What?
No IR.
Wow.
No IR. And niggas was flocking to her left and right. I ain't going to put them on blast. But niggas was flocking to her left and right outside of scene. You know, I was just like, wow, really?
So
you know,
how do the fans feel?
Like
it's a lot of black guys, because I saw the guy from TMZ had said something about an ex of Texas that she didn't do IR, and that, the guy from, the black guy from TMZ was like, his favorite porn star, Alexis Texas, doesn't do IR, which I didn't know that. And he said, that's disappointing because I've been a fan of hers. How does that make the fan feel? Like, honestly, in my opinion, if I was a fan, I would feel kind of stupid because I support your porn, I'm black, and you don't even do guys my color. That's an insult. Like, what do you feel about that?
Well, I've heard it back from the fans. You know, when I did the op-ed, and it you know, because the op-ed that I did, it went all over the place. It didn't just stay in porn. It went to mainstream. I spoke at universities. You know, I mean, it's been included in Cinnamon Love's book, you know, a professor of sexual sociology at Santa Barbara. She's using it, you know, I mean, it's been all over. And fans have hit me back, and their response was, you know, two things. One, they say that they had no clue that this stuff was even going on, all right? And that's normally the first response. And then the second response, from fans who actually have a brain in their head that are black, they say, I'll never support that chick again. And I said, good, because that was part of my plan was I told him, I said, you know, as the consumer, you have the ultimate power.
Absolutely.
Said,
mm-hmm.
You have the choice of whether or not you join that website, whether you buy that video, whether you go pay that chick $10 for a Polaroid with her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, don't you feel stupid standing in line to wait to, you know, for hours, to wait to meet a chick that wouldn't
and
touch
she don't
you
even
with
like
a
you.
Pole?
Exactly.
You know, so it's like, you know, and they're starting to understand it on a more larger scale now, you know, because because, you know, I introduced the subject very vocally, you know, and then let's look at the effects that happened from that. Some female white talent that did interracial, you know, when I refused to do interracial any longer, those girls went off the deep end. Went completely off the deep end. You know what I'm saying? Like, some won't even talk to me anymore.
Wow.
Well, damn, dude.
Blah, blah, blah. I've always supported you. Blah, blah, blah. How dare you not do interracial anymore? Why are you punishing us all? I say, maybe you should ask the girls that you're having dinner with that support their right to discriminate against the entire race.
Wow.
You don't have any problem. I'm doing it.
No, look, that's the funny thing about
it.
When I heard Justin say he didn't do IR anymore, because you never hear a black person say they don't do interracial, so it was such a funny thing. I thought it was hilarious. But, yeah, because I just don't see the race thing. I think that if it's a hot girl, a hot guy, why is it interracial? I was told something the other day that my person who used to, like, take care of my career explained something to me, and he said every time we will book you, or not just me, any of his black talent, because he had mixed, he had white girls and, you know, other people. He said, but any of my urban talent that I had to book, and he said, even though you worked a lot before my contract, he said, I would have to literally fight to, like, when it was an interracial, a regular feature, not an interracial. Every time I stepped onto the set that was an all-white set, it would automatically become interracial because I'm there. And I didn't get that. And I'm sitting there scratching my head like, are you serious? And he said, yes. And we had a long conversation. This is recent. I didn't know this. He just told me this, like, maybe 2 weeks ago. And he said, yeah. He said, because, you know, I did a lot of movies that were, like, you would see me, I'm the only black girl. And he said, India, a lot of times I would have to, like, you know, they didn't, you know, with you being there, it made it now, and it's not just the feature. It's now interracial or it's something else, whatever the names they put. But I never understood that. Like, why? Why? Why can't it
well,
just be a movie?
Well, you are pretty chocolate. You are pretty chocolate, so.
Oh, God.
You know,
it's
you completely, chocolate up the entire production at that point.
All that means is that she made it sweet, right, Martin?
Exactly.
She made it sweet.
Yes, that's all.
You came on the set, all of a sudden everybody, you know, they're hitting sunflower seeds, and they, you know, they want to order up some Coke 45, and they don't even know why. Hey, where my cornbread? Where my collard greens at?
Hey,
all of a sudden, you got the geekiest of white people pouring liquor out for their niggas, right?
I'm telling you.
Hey,
well, now, this is for the homies who couldn't shoot today.
Right.
No,
yeah,
but
I can honestly say this.
My experiences, I think all my stuff was kind of like covered up because everything that my manager had to deal with, he knew. But I didn't get to see any of that. If anybody treated me different, I wouldn't know it because it wasn't brought to me. Do you get what I'm saying?
Because if he would have told you, he was a good manager to some extent, you know what I mean? Because
he kept it from
me. If he would have told you, you would have been livid. You would have been livid, and you would have been starting to look for blood. And then,
right.
It would have affected your career. You know,
South Central would have came out.
Because
And he kept it for me, and I kind of lived in a life of, in my opinion, I never experienced a lot of stuff that some other girls have. And I will always say that, like, you know, everybody was nice. Everybody was cool. Like, you know, if you did IR, you didn't. I didn't really care. Like, I never really looked into stuff like that. I was really just focused on, okay, what I'm doing. And but what I heard 2 weeks ago, I was living in a different world because he told me stuff about that was going on that I didn't even know. So, you know, it lets me know that it does exist. It does.
So now imagine being in even the wilder of West, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, right.
You're sitting at a later date where it's even more out in the open. You know what I mean? Because even when you were under contract with Afrocentric and all them, you know, Byron Long, Marcus, Mark Anthony, Lex, they were shooting for Vivid weekly because Vivid was having to compete with Afrocentric. As soon as Afrocentric left, Steve Hirsch shut that shit down. He said, "We ain't shooting niggas no more."
Funny because I said the same thing. We used to shoot because, you know, video team, and Steven and Curtis were good friends. And, you know, actually his wife he married was video team's main secretary for years before Steve Hirsch married her. So their kids play together. So you're right. They competed a lot because I worked for Steve a lot. I worked for Vivid a lot at that time when I was working for video team. And actually, they were the only company outside of video team in my contract. If something came up with Vivid, I could work for them. So they did compete a lot, but it was, you know, it was a good thing that if you work for Vivid. So when I hear nowadays, the girls are telling me, like, I never even worked for Vivid, the black girls. I'm like, are you serious? They don't shoot a lot of black girls no more?
And they never will. And they never will. They don't. I don't think that they really shoot any black girl.
Wow.
I don't see very much coming out of there. I mean, there's very little IR coming out of their camp anyway. And the only reason that it's coming out now is because, you know, most of the, you know, when the economy collapsed and the web really started to take over with tube sites and stuff, you know, Vivid saw an opportunity to move in where companies had been put under, like Black Market and stuff like that, that were shooting all interracial. When those companies got put under, Vivid saw a hole to go in there and start shooting some, not any grand amount, you know what I mean, but start shooting really some interracial and trying to pop it off and fill in that void and make that profit, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so now, you know, the companies that really weren't shooting interracial, you know what I mean, are starting to because they're just trying to make the profit. So it's a company that really don't support niggas, but they're willing to make money off of niggas. You know what I mean? I'll tell you something funny that happened. I'm putting another bitch on blast. All right. So I get this memo from one of my agents, right? Because I had a couple, and Tara Patrick and Tara Vision are looking for a black male talent. I'm like, okay, fuck it. Tara, you know, Tara Patrick.
Hi, Tara. We're not blasting Tara, are we?
Yeah. I'm sorry,
no,
but you're
nice, Tara. That's nice for you.
You're gonna understand it at the end of the day. Okay, so trust me on this one. So, like, I'm like, okay, so Tara's gonna correct her ways, and she's going to start doing some interracial, you know what I'm saying? And shooting interracial, for that matter, you know? And I'm like, okay, cool. So I showed up, and me and John, a bunch of people, you know, went. You know what I mean? And we all had our scheduled time, so it wasn't like just a line full of niggas. You know what I mean? Nothing like that, you know? So I go in there, I do my paperwork. Exactly, you know? And so I do my paperwork. I go in there, sit down with the production agent or whatever, you know, that's doing these interviews, and they're filming, and, you know, they're filming the interview, this and that. And so here's the premise. She wants to start a, like, erotic hip-hop show where they – and what they're looking for is a host. So it's not that she's going to start shooting interracial porn or that she's going to start shooting interracial porn. I mean, her company or her individually, right? It's they want to do a hip-hop show that's, like, you know, part porn, part hip-hop, and they want a host – that's basically going to be interviewing, you know, hip-hop artists. And she feels that she needs a brother to do this because what moral leg does she have to stand on?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Exploitation.
She owns a company that doesn't shoot any interracial. She basically ain't shot no interracial. So, you know, what moral leg does she have to stand on to be over here trying to make money off of me? So she's trying to do it undercover, right? And I was like, wow. And, like, this really hit me, like, the full scope of what she was really trying to do in the middle of this interview. And I just told the dude straight up, I said, dog, shut off the camera. And he's all, what do you mean? You know, and he's used to working with Tara Patrick. You know what I mean? And I say, shut off the camera, dog. I say, you got the wrong motherfucking nigga, dog. Period. I said, the bitch won't work with the nigga, but she's trying to make money off of a nigga. Fuck that and fuck her and fuck TerraVision. Have a nice day and walk the fuck out.
Now that's how you do it, gangster. That's how you do it, gangster.
Right? But
let's take a phone call real quick, Justin. Let's see. Stay on the phone with us. 912, sure. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, what's going on? India, y'all can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Justin, I actually saw your article, man. I was reading that in length, and, you know, it's a very true thing. You know, I've been reading about stuff like that before, and, you know, I tend to believe what's going on out there. But, India, I was listening to you last night, and you made a remark about your two exes, right? And
uh-huh.
I was just wondering, why are they your two exes? You know, what happened?
Yeah.
You're my dog.
Well,
my
ex-husband and my fiancé.
Right.
Well, my ex-husband, I got married young. When I first came into porn, I met my ex-husband. And I was a young girl. I was in love, but, you know, I really never had a whole lot of, real relationships at the time. So, you know, he was older than me. So, and then I'm getting, you know, started with my career. It was a lot going on. He wasn't faithful all the time. And I just really just had enough. So it was my decision to leave him. And I wanted to build my career, you know, and I wasn't going to leave it. So, but when I got married, I did leave porn for about a year and a half while I was married. Yeah.
Right.
My ex-fiance is a different story. He's older than me, once again, but way older than me. And it just seemed at that time in my life, when I left porn, I don't know, I just kind of felt like, you know, when I stopped doing porn, I was actually in my late 20s. And when I met him.
When you say older, talking about 20 years at least.
Excuse me?
Was he at least 20 years older?
Yeah, he was. How did you know that? Did you read my book?
No.
He's been reading the book.
You read the book? Because I said it in the book. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, he was older than me. He was 20 years older than me, yes. But he's a great guy. Great guy. I was in love with that person, and it was a good relationship. But at the same time, we were on two different pages. He wanted to kind of settle down. I'm still at the end of my 20s. I want to go out. I want to have fun. I want to party. And I know that any woman out, you know, any person at that age, man or female, you know, they understand what I'm talking about. I was not ready to settle down. So yes, I did decide once again that I wanted to move on, and we are friends to this day. I just talked to him yesterday. So I talked to my ex-husband the other day too, so shout out to him. So I do keep relationships with people that I was involved with. It's not like it ended bad and we don't talk. So, yeah.
Right. Okay, that's a beautiful thing. And that girl you were trying to remember, her name is Jordan Knight, you know, who hooked up with Mark Wallace and got infected.
No, that's not who I was talking about. Jordan McKnight is the black girl.
You were talking about that episode, and you was trying to remember her name, but I guess it came back to you.
It was a white girl that I was talking about. I wasn't talking about Jordan.
The one with Mark Wallace, wasn't that Brooke Ashley?
Yeah, Brooke Ashley. That's who it was.
But he affected Jordan McKnight too.
Yeah, but that was before I came in the industry. That was, like, way before me. So I didn't even know anything about Jordan McKnight until, like, probably, like, later, years later, I heard about that she had HIV. So I didn't even know she had HIV. Yeah.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
I heard, yeah, but, is it true? Because I heard that Ebony Ice, too. I didn't know that. I found a really? Lot of stuff. I didn't know that she was.
Oh, not Ebony Ice. Yeah.
Well,
she can tell. I love Ebony Ice.
She's infected?
I've seen on the site she was, yeah, I read that she was, but this was a long time
wow.
ago that they reported that.
But
well, I didn't know. So, you know.
Wow.
But, yeah, but I hope I'm not wrong, but I did see it somewhere that was true. But, you know, hey, I hope not. But, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, but the interracial teams, what I've noticed is that on the set, like on the boxes or on the DVD covers, it's not played up as much as, let's say there was an Asian and, Asian dude, white girl. It's not, like, considered interracial, to your point earlier. You know, they don't really say that. You know, it's only if it's a black dude and a white girl or, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they count it. Do they count it, Justin, as interracial or as an Asian?
No. Interracial is only construed as interracial if somebody of black descent comes in.
Right. Well,
so you could have a Spanish guy and a Korean girl, and it's not interracial. You could have a white girl and a dude from Ecuador, and it's not interracial. You could have Kenny Styles. Kenny Styles, he's my homeboy. But Kenny Styles, you know, probably the only Asian that's ever blown up in the industry. You know, Kenny Styles, and he was working with the Nicky Benzes and the Jesse James and so on and so forth, and it was never considered interracial. But you bring a nigga into it, it's interracial. That's it. You know,
Justin, I don't think it's that serious, though, where you should just, like, you know, say you're not doing the white girls anymore. I mean, come on now, you know.
Well, you know, I did that for about 7 months. And then I went back and I shot a little bit, and then I pretty much retired almost completely from the industry. The only thing I shoot anymore is for Japanese companies that I've worked for a long time. And the only reason I even still shoot for them is because they're full panel tested and they bring their girls straight from Japan. So I know that I'm not working in a cesspool of American porn industry.
So, and that's an American based, Tom?
No, they're all Japanese based companies.
They have a lot of Japanese companies that they still do. They come here and they actually pay really good. None of the cast speaks English. It happens often. No, it happens.
Can
I did
they
once
say me so horny? Can they say me
no.
so horny?
And they have contract stars, because I know one of the guys I shot with, he was a contract star, whatever company he was with, over where he's from, and they bought him hair, and he shot with, I know he shot with Jenna, he shot with, I think Tara did it, a lot of girls did it, like, that was booked that day. So, it happens, and they pay really good, actually, so shout out to them.
Yeah, the Japanese normally pay rate. And, you know, I've been to Japan a couple times and shot out to Lucky Star for hooking that up, you know what I mean? And but I just got really deep in with the Japanese but nowadays it makes more financial sense for them to bring a couple contract stars over from Japan they bring their entire production to America.
And it doesn't matter if you're black, right?
No. No, it doesn't.
I gotta ask Justin this one though. So what if they want to see you with a white girl? Would you say nah?
If they wanted to shoot me with American talent, they would probably have to pay out the nose for that one. I'm over American porn. I'm over American companies. I'm over American talent.
So you say no.
Yeah, you know, and it's really, you know, I'm a passionate person, it's really about standing my ground. It's sort of kind of like the Syria conflict today. If we don't attack, the president has no legitimacy, and if we do attack him, the president is screwed anyway.
It's like you're screwed with what you do, right?
It's the principalities of the situation, Justin. It's the principalities.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good point. Because
it's all about the principalities.
On principles, So that's a beautiful thing.
You know, I mean, I knew it would damage my career, you know, but I wasn't really concerned about it because I had just went back into the industry and I was doing well. You know, I was shooting features for Hustler. I was getting flown up to Kink to shoot. You know, I was booked. When I decided no more interracial, I called, I was with, Lisa Ann was managing me at the time, and I called the office and canceled $4,000 worth of work that I had scheduled over the next 2 weeks. You know,
wow.
it wasn't a lack of work, you know,
right.
and to the day, in fact, because I have a book coming out, I had to call one of my old directors because I was getting prom shots and stuff like that for the book, from him. And the first thing he asked was, "Oh, you're coming back to work? Well, just go ahead and call so-and-so, his production director, and I'll tell him to schedule you in." And I'm like, "No, I'm not coming back to work. I just need pictures,
wow.
right?" You know, so I can still go back to work at any time and come in, you know, strong and swinging. But I just, I don't want to, you know. For the blacks that can't say anything because they have, you know, they have mortgages, they have kids, they have little things going on, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm okay with that. You know, hey, you got to look out for yours. You know, I wish you'd
no,
stand
you
behind.
No, you do. You definitely
you
do, and I can't pressure them to say something that if you don't want to stand up for what you believe in and you want to play Russian roulette with your life, then, hey, it is what it is. I just feel like if I was active in the industry right now, I would definitely, one, if nobody wanted to stand up with me, I definitely would leave because I would not sit here and be a victim and just catch HIV. I'm not going to do that. Somebody has to say something. And sometimes
but
it's
India,
better
though,
than
India,
talk.
India, I got to ask you this, though. What, how would you feel, right, if, like, you know, if you were on a set and white dude came on the set and says, oh, it's a black girl. Oh, I don't do black girls.
No, that never happened to me. So I wouldn't, know how
that
would feel. I don't know.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Never happened to me. So I don't know that. They would never do that. They would never
well,
do it
black,
in front of me. So I don't know how that would feel.
Black girls suffer a different type of discrimination. In the
yeah,
industry.
We
their,
don't,
their
I've never heard of that.
Their discrimination is normally financially. You know what I mean? They're normally
right.
getting paid less, and they're getting booked in less scenes. You know what I
right.
mean? It's not. You know, I mean, because let's be real. Money, pussy, and power makes the world go around. You know what I mean?
Let's sit here, Justin. Why are they getting paid less? Because you know why? Let me tell you why they're getting paid less. They're getting paid less, and a lot of people like to say that, but I don't feel sorry for them getting paid less because if you didn't accept what they're giving you, you don't have to sit there and say, oh, you're going to get $500, $600 a scene. That's on you to say, you know what, fuck you. When you get some more money, then I'll come back. I've never accepted anything just because you gave it to me. I told you what my rate was. If you do not have my rate money, my rate, then I will walk. That's what it is. So when I was independent and I walked onto the set, they had my rate. Now, the other girls around me that were black that were there, I don't know what these chicks were getting paid, but I know what I was getting paid. So I can't speak
right,
for
right.
everybody that's black. Everybody
but
wasn't on their business.
But you're a little, but you're not the average black girl in the
exactly,
industry.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Point.
And like
you're not the average looking black girl.
If girl X turns down, you know, $800 when her scene's supposed to be $1,000, then you know as well as I do that there's some other shoddy out in the field that's just gonna say, I'll take the $800. And so the producer's not being taught a lesson, you know, he's uh-huh. still getting female talent and he's still paying what he wanted to pay. You just missed out on
right.
the money. And he's never gonna
right.
call you again, and then he's gonna put you on blast, you know, with the other directors saying, oh, this chick thinks she's all that and then a bag of chips and she wants this ridiculous fee where I had, you know, 20 girls lining up for the fee that I was paying. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's one of those things, again, where unless everybody stands together, all the black females, and says,
well,
we
that's what I always say. I will not be on a set for any type of money with a 40 ounce in my hand, which I have seen on a set. What I want to understand is why on a black set you have stereotypes versus other sets. And I've been on many sets, and I kind of feel like one set that I did walk off of, even though this person was paying my rate, he paid my rate. He was going to pay for two scenes of my rate. And when I saw what they were doing, they basically had 40 ounces. They was getting some girl, like it looked like an alley. Come on. I'm not going to be a part of that because guess what? You're going to stick my face on the fucking cover, and I'm going to be on the cover with your little discriminating titles. So I said, you know what, F you and your money, thank you very much, I'm good. And I got in my car, and I drove off in my Hummer. Bye. I don't need your money.
Right.
This is nothing. Take your little few thousand dollars, thank you. I'm good.
Right, right. And I understand that, you know, guys, you know, girls don't always get booked for, you know, scenes necessarily like that. But obviously if you have series that are, you know, like I'm in this series, you know, fucking my black stepdaddy. You know what I mean? And I love the company. You know, Devil's Film and Tom Moore, they put a lot of money in my pocket. You know what I mean? And I understand the argument. You know, as a guy, I can tell you that more often than not, almost all the time, it's going to be about size because that's the taboo. You know. Black guy on white girl.
Exactly.
You know,
big stud,
that's
the big black stud.
Yeah, that's the taboo. And so unless you're willing to, you know, put your life at risk and only make $1,500 a month versus
right.
put your life at risk and make $10,000 a month, you know what I mean? Then you're going to have to shoot those. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah.
like, you know, you know what I mean? And this is the number one argument from female talent who don't shoot interracial, right? Is that, well, I don't want to be in films that are named like that where they're just demeaning the white girl, this and that and a third, right? Well, you know, but at the same time,
black girls do it every day.
These are our problems. Exactly.
But at the same time,
black dirty bitch part two. Volume 6.
But,
you're like, what the hell?
Yeah. But at the same time, a lot of these girls have shot in movies in the past that were like, I mean, you go on AIFD and look at the movies that they've shot and some of the titles. Trailer Trash Whores. You know what I mean? So they'll be a trailer trash whore, but they won't be the stepdaughter fucking their black stepdaddy.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. You
garbage
know, and,
pail whores. You're like, are you serious? You was in Garbage Pail Whores Part 2. Don't even try to act like you were in the stepdaddy movie.
Right.
Come on now. Let's keep it 100.
Wow.
Often I do tell, like, when I used to manage a few girls, I brought up a lot of girls into the industry. I will always tell my girls, look at titles. When you're not with me no more and I'm not managing you, make sure you concentrate on the titles. The titles matter. I've done titles before. I knew all this stuff when I was doing it on my own, and it's only a few, not a lot, that I don't like. But that's one thing in my career that I try to look at, the titles. I'm not going to be in Food Stamp Holes Part 2, and I will always tell my girls from my experiences, look at the titles. If you don't represent that, don't do it for the money. It's not worth it. You know, do stuff that you can co-sign. Huh?
Did you really just say food stamp whore?
No. I'm serious. I told one of my girls, she went behind my back. She was like, she thought she knew more than me. You know, you always have one of those, right? And she did a movie. I'm not going to say the guy's name. If I say the guy's name, you guys going to know who I'm talking about. He's going to call me and probably cuss me out again. But
wow.
He basically shot
again.
One of my girls. I told her not to do it. And I said, I'm telling you, he do degrading movies. I'm telling you, don't do it. She was like,
uh-huh.
No, I'm not going to do it. Look, she came out with the movie one, it was like a month later. She came and bought me the box cover. Guess what the box cover said?
Oh,
it said, we didn't pay these hoes with money. We paid these hoes in food stamps. Oh, my God. And there was her face, biggest day on the box.
Wow.
Yes. And she was crying, like literally in tears. No lie, you guys. She was crying and she felt bad. Like, I can't believe they did this. I said, you didn't get a title? You didn't ask for a title? I told you that. Always ask for a title. And I told you not to do it because who it was. And that's what happened. So, yeah.
Food stamp hoes. Wow.
Yes, food stamp hoes. That's what the title said. We didn't pay them in money. We paid them in food stamps. Yes.
But it almost doesn't matter anyway because like, so you signed that 2257 and it's going for that, and sure enough, the title's on there, right?
Justin, you can, I've done it before, I don't know if everybody knows this, but when you sign that amount of release or whatever, it's supposed to have what the movie is called. Now, it's been
That's what I said.
They didn't have the movie title there, but if they don't have the movie title there, I won't sign it and I won't do the movie. That's why I walked off that one set.
Wait. But wait a second. So you sign the model release and it has the title on there, but at the same time, the contract that you're signing in the model release, they own the rights, and so they can make compilations all day long. They can sell
that
content. Yeah, they can. You know,
I said they can.
Okay,
I know they can.
Okay. Wait, but those compilations don't have to be named the same title.
But look, Justin, you get a little deeper and you say on your model release, the model release you receive is basic, it's standard. You can alter the model release as much as you want if you that's doing a movie. If they really want you in this film, believe me, it's been done. You can alter the model release as much as you want. I can go as far as saying, you know what, this movie, I'm only doing this movie. You cannot include, it's not included with any type of other titles. You cannot make other titles. You can word anything you want in that contract. It's not there, but it doesn't mean you can't add it. So that's another thing that people don't know. I can stop all that. You know, you can't make, don't make none of your little phone sex, you know, some of the movies, they take stuff for phone sex ads. You can put all kinds of stuff in there. It's all kinds of things you can do. But a lot of people don't know that.
I agree, but for the average talent that's out there that's really in
the
predicament, they don't have the ability to do that. Because the director would be like, are you kidding me? Every soccer mom and girl turns 18 years old that doesn't want to get a real job is like in the industry. So if you think that, like, you know, and the director doesn't even have that ability because he'd really have to. I mean, it's you're there. You just showed up. You're trying to get your model release done so that you can get into makeup to keep the production on time. The director ain't playing this game where, well, now we have contractual differences, and now the attorney for X video production company.
If they want to shoot you, they have to wait. It's no rush for me to sign. I keep mine the whole time until I'm about to do my scene because I feel like, you know, until I'm done and I read everything and I want to make sure what it is I'm signing. A lot of people I see sign model releases, and guess what? They give it right back to the director. They're just like, they're not looking at anything. Everybody's not like that. There's some girls in this industry, some men in this industry that are very smart, and there's a few of them. And I think you have to be smart. To be smart is one reading over this documentation to see what's in it, to make sure what you're signing away. Because at the end of the day, they will, like you said, make compilations. Sex, what is it called? The 976 line commercials. Right. All kind of stuff can be redone, you know?
Let me ask you this while you're on the subject, though. How long is a contract? Is it like a book or just like a few pages?
It's normally only one or two pages.
A typical contract.
Yeah, it's really short. It's very standard.
Yeah. Oh. But I think moreover, India, you know, I mean, I understand what you're talking about, and I agree with what you're talking about. But I think for the average performer, I'm talking about like 85% of the performers out there, to get away with what you're talking about, you have to have a name, you know what I mean? Like the average, you know, just the random girl, and no guy's getting away with it. You know what I'm saying? Unless who are one of the top 10 guys in the world, you are not getting away with that. They'll be
right.
like, uh-huh. Are you kidding me? Every other guy and his grandmother wants to be a porn star, and you're sitting here giving me a shit about a model release? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I have somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah,
because
when I did that on
the
one set, the guys got nervous, and they were just like clueless, like, we never had this to happen. She's asking us to add stuff in her model release. And I was like, well, if you
yeah.
guys can't add this, I'm not going to do it. I'm not signing it, and I'm going to leave.
But that's
and they
because,
were just clueless.
But that's because of who you were. That's because of
right.
who you were and the reason that it happened. But if,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you're talking about they were getting nervous and they're having to make phone calls. Do you think that they're going to do that for some random chick that just entered the industry 4 months ago?
No.
Monica's
Foster,
no. No. And she's going to be put on blast and basically, you know, eight-balled from, you know, from most work. You know what I mean?
From
so,
all
so,
the
so,
black... Black ball-headed strippers part three. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck, right?
Right?
Oh, my gosh. You know what, Justin? I really enjoy talking to you. We got to have you on the Dollhouse Show because you have so much information. I mean, like, I love it because you're so raw with it, and I think that's why a lot of people are scared of your ass because you're too raw with it. And I really love it, though, because you keep it 100.
I told you I was passionate.
Yeah, you are passionate. So get to writing your damn book, Mr. Passionate. You need to write a book. I definitely think it will be really good for you to write a book so people can kind of get an insight. And I think I encourage a lot of the porn stars to write memoirs because a lot of the fans like the insight. They don't really get to see, you know, that industry or what goes on. Their experiences, personal experiences, I really think it's a good thing. So I'm really looking forward to you writing a book. So.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, baby. Thank you so much for calling in. We love you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, sweetheart. Hi, Mark.
Yay.
Y'all have...
Thank you.
I actually stumbled upon the article.
I wanted to know the 912. I wanted to know, how did you know that I had a fiance for 20 years? I mean, that was 20 years older than me, sorry.
Because, you know what? I'm kind of crazy like that. I kid you not. I was telling you a short story. I just met this girl, right? And her personality was so much, she was so extroverted that I could tell that she was either an Aries or Sagittarius, and that scared the hell out
mm-hmm.
of her. But it's just
mm-hmm.
a thing with me where I have, I have this delicate perception for people, you know, sometimes, and it's scary because I could tell if you're an artist, you know, if I have a minute of conversation with you, and then we're
mm-hmm.
bonding, and it's like the conversation is like going. I could tell if you're artistic or free-spirited or not, you know, and usually.
No, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just a crazy thing with me where, you know, I could just get ahead of you without you even knowing it. You know, it happens
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel what you're saying. I have a thing where I can feel people's energy, where I can sit and talk to you, and I can tell 5 seconds if I'm going to deal with
mm-hmm.
you. If I'm not going to deal with you, I can definitely feel your energy, if that's anything
right.
like what you're talking about. But thank you so much. It's been really fun with you, too. Definitely, I love doing these type of shows because we definitely want to bring, I want to continue to bring on the Dollhouse Show and the Brunch, Martin, more shows, just more informative for the fans and for
exactly.
people that have not even watched porn to give them
right.
more
but
insight
India.
Of the industry. Huh?
India, I got a couple questions though, really quick. Last
okay.
night, I liked the interview with Mr. Marcus, but he never really went into stuff. You know what I'm saying? He was
no,
kind of like close to that.
But
he
you know why?
Even, like,
we didn't. Right, he didn't. But we had him on when it happened. I don't know if you know that, but when the syphilis incident happened, we had him on the show. So he went into the whole story
okay.
of explaining
he was on
this.
Before. Okay.
Yeah. So then after this
okay.
is the DUI happened. That's why I asked about the DUI, because that was after the fact now. That's the recent thing. So when he came back on, I wanted to kind of just go back over, but not really revisit it and just be like, keep
right.
talking about the same stuff. I wanted to find out what is he doing now to get over it.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why.
But
yeah.
he never really went into that either. Like, you know, what is he really doing now, or, you know, what's the perception of, like, how do they receive him now? Like, you know, is he getting like that?
Well, he said how they receive him. A lot of people turned their back on him. A lot of people
right.
don't, you know, a lot of friends that he had for a long time within the industry are not there. And, you know, that was one of the main points last night, that he was saying that he thinks they're just waiting for him to tap him on the shoulder. They turned their back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I really think that was a good point, because you find out quickly who your friends aren't, you know,
right,
when stuff happens like this. So I think it's a good experience for him, because at the end of the day, it's a bad experience for anybody who catches a disease. I'm not going to say that's a good thing, but I think the good
right
thing about it is you get to quickly find out who's in your corner. So,
mm-hmm,
you know.
By the way,
okay,
full disclosure, you're speaking to Alessia Arnett. You may have seen me on Facebook, and, you know, you sent you a few messages. And
yes. Oh, how are you? Okay.
Yeah, good. I'm good. The other question was, like, you know, I meant to ask you, who's Ariel? Because you had some Ariel girl on last night.
Yeah, Ari is our co-host. She's been there for a long time. Yeah, Ari Good.
Yeah,
she's
I'm not
the
familiar
publicist
with her. Who?
She's a publicist.
She's an actress?
Publicist.
Oh, she's a, okay, that's why. I
yes
thought she was an actress,
mm-hmm,
because I was like, I've never
no
heard of her.
No, she's a publicist.
Oh,
she's
we only wish.
Yeah, we wish she was an actress, but she's beautiful. She's a publicist. She's really successful at what she does. Very mm-hmm on it. I love Ari. She's on it,
okay,
and she's always
so
on time.
With,
so that's good.
So you're on with Martin right now, Martin.
Yeah, Martin
that's
is my
right
Sunday show. Martin's on with us Saturdays too sometimes, but he came from this show. He's on my show on Sundays. He's my co-host. So yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's probably
that,
watching a
it
football game right now, and I'm pretty sure he's watching the Saints game. Martin, you're not slick, okay?
Oh.
I know the Saints are playing, and I know
matter
they're doing
fact, Saints
right
just
now
scored a touchdown. Saints just scored
yeah
a touchdown.
Exactly. See, when he got quiet at 1:30, I already knew what it was, okay? Anyways, I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight, including you, Alessi. Thank you so much for participating on the conversation. Justin Long,
yes,
everybody out there.
Thank you, Justin.
Joseph Tanner, I love you so much, sweetheart. If you're listening out there, he's always retweeting for me. Justin starts early. I mean, not Justin, but Joseph starts early in the morning. Because you know my Twitter and all
yes
my Facebook is hooked up to my phone. My phone in the morning is going ding, 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 ding. Because Justin goes to sleep. I mean, Joseph goes to sleep about 9:30 or something, right? And he wakes up in the morning and gets all my tweets. I mean, it's like, ding, 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 ding. He gets everything.
Yeah,
everything Joseph I tweet
is an early
about
riser. He's an early riser. I'm still, we still
well,
trying
to
sleep.
Yes, we're trying to sleep. Make sure you guys tune in to tomorrow's show. It's called Truth Be Told. It's a new show here on Dollhouse Radio. It's my baby. I created it with the host there is Miss STL, actually from your hometown, Martin. So the STL show tomorrow. So make sure you guys tune in to Truth Be Told. They start at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday. Also, Little Mo is coming to Dollhouse Radio on the Heaven Hollywood show this Tuesday. Make sure you guys tune in to Little Mo live on the Heaven Hollywood Experience at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Dollhouse Radio. Wednesdays, we have lipstick and liquor bottles with Ivory Poison and Little Friday live every Wednesday, you guys. I think they're going to change their time to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you guys tune into lipstick and liquor bottles on Wednesday. We love you guys so much. Real quick, Martin, I have to take this call because they've been here 618. Did you want to say anything? 618?
Hello. Hey, India, what's
hi
up?
Who's this?
This is Reggie. This is Reggie.
Hi, Reggie. How are
my
you?
My star on Twitter. Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
What's up?
I enjoyed the show and definitely enjoyed the topic. And, yeah, it's just good hearing you again. I know I missed you last night, but I know I had to make sure I talked to you today.
Oh, thank you so much, Reggie. Yay.
Yeah, no problem. And I always retweet your stuff, too, as well. So I try to show love on that, and I still can't wait to read your book. So.
Wait, have you got your book? Have you? Did you order a book?
I ordered a book from you, and
did you get
I
it yet?
Yeah.
Everybody emailed me. Well, no, tweeted me yesterday. The last few people, they all got their stuff. You should have got. Where did you order yours from? Because New York, I think I sent. Like we send out
Illinois
a lot of orders on the top of the week. Yeah, you should have got your
yeah
book. Check your mail because you should have your book Because that's what I wanted to ask you, too, because I know I talk to you all the time on Twitter. So I wanted to make sure you tweet me as soon as you get it, because I know one of my other regular Twitter followers, Kelly, she got hers late last night when she got home. She got home and saw that she had got it that day, yesterday. So make sure you let me know if you got it. But it was supposed to come. Everybody was supposed to get them Friday, so you might get yours tomorrow if you haven't got it yet. So it's on its way. I already sent everything off. Yay, thank you. So make sure you tweet me when you get it.
You know I will.
Okay, thanks, babe. Martin, have you got your book?
I have not got my book yet. I got to order it. I've been slipping.
No, let me tell you something. First of all, you're not going to get my book because when I see your name, I'm going to know it's you. I'm going to know it's you, and I'm going to disregard it. And I'm going to tell you why.
Wow.
Because my last book that came out that you had sitting on your damn coffee table, you was getting pussy off of it. And you invite these girls over, put my book on the table, and these girls pick up the book, see that it's enticing, and then that's how you start, you know, doing your thing with them. So you're not going to use me to get girls no more. I'm sorry.
Wow.
It's over.
This is I got to call
it's
my
true.
Attorney. This sounds like slander.
It's not slander. It's the truth.
Slander.
It can't be slander when it's the truth, Martin. You told me two different stories of two different girls. Okay, let me shut up because they might be listening.
Wow.
Never mind.
Wow.
Disregard what
I
just said.
Oh, my Lord. I hope ain't no family member that's listening right now.
No. I'm just playing. We're just joking. Anyways, we love you guys so much. Make sure you hit us up if you have music that you want played on any of our shows, dollhouseradiomusic@gmail.com. We also do prank calls on the Saturday show. We did one last night. Make sure you hit
goodness.
Us up at dollhousetips@gmail.com if you wanted to prank a family member or friend. We definitely want to do it. Did you listen back to the show? The show was crazy with the prank call.
The prank call was hilarious.
Okay, I'm done with
prank
call. You're going to have to join in on the next one, Martin. I need you on the next one. You're going to have to join in.
Oh, yeah, I'll do the next one.
Oh, you know, we got a good one for the next one. The next one, I think when we call somebody's family or friend, we're going to call and we're going to be like a couple, and we're going to be like arguing like we want them to be like a therapist. I'm just going to start talking to them and just going back and forth and see how long they'll sit on the phone and listen to us, you know.
And people that know
like
me, they would stay on the phone a long time.
Yeah, they're still on the phone. He's just going to pick up his clothes. And I'm tired of picking up his stuff. I'm tired of picking up his stuff, and then you go back and argue with me. You know what? I work all day. I think that would be hilarious. I want to see how long they're going to stay on the phone. That'll be funny. Anyways, we'll see you guys.
They will stay on.
Yeah, they will stay on. We'll see you guys next week. We're here every Sunday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm in Dan Morrell. I'm here with my co-host.
Martin C.
Woo! We'll see you guys next Saturday. Bye!
Hey!
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.